I've just bumped into Rowan Groom. I say bumped into because we've not met before, but it's good to be covering a bit of spoken word at the Fringe. Most people in Brighton have heard of Hammer and Tongue, which is a big kind of, you know, competitive poetry slam. Tell us about this particular show.
So this particular show is hopefully on the same level as Hammer and Tongue. I've been there before. This is more about what's basically going to happen with us and technology in the future. So it's set in 2049 in the United States of China, formerly Africa. And it's a kind of a 1984 Black Mirror-inspired vibe where it just goes on about us and tech and what could go wrong.
Wow, and where did the idea for that come from? It's called Unnatural, isn't
Unnatural,
it?
Unnatural, yeah. I actually got the idea from a friend of mine. We were going to do a song together, and then he suggested something about the relationship of nature and unnatural and technology, and then I just thought that's something that I think is quite relevant for a lot of people and turned it into this.
So what would your reaction be to someone that says, but you know, it's all natural?
I think that there's a good argument for that, and that's where I partially put some of this. As I said, kind of ends up with the humans, what we decide to do. But then I also say humans have been creating virtual reality and stuff like that for as long as there's been imagination and a need for comfort. So I think that there's a very good argument for it actually being natural, and that's a scary thing about it.
In the live performed spoken word world, also along rap as well, there are some poets that I've seen that absolutely seem to go chaotic in a really good way. It becomes a bit musical, very qualitative, but others are absolutely in the machine beat.
I'm a little bit more on the musical side of things. I do play guitar and I rap, and that's my background, so I was able to transfer that over quite easily over to this, and I find it makes the performance a lot more exciting if I can get into a nice rhythm and an ebb and flow of it, really. I really try to keep the energy as high up as possible.
How do you start from zero words, the blank canvas, to then going, oh, that's a poem?
Oh man, it's I'd say the most simple way to put it is that eventually you get a kind of a sense of relief, and you just have to force yourself to write. Like, there's no such thing as the writer's block. You just have to literally force it out until something happens, pretty much.
But when the idea comes, does it find you, or do you go looking for it?
So you both can happen. So sometimes I really have to try to stir up the creative juices. With some of this, every now and again, something will just come to mind, and then you can write out maybe 2/3 of the poem in one afternoon, and then the rest of it could take a month. So yeah, sometimes it comes to us, sometimes it doesn't.
And is there one that sits better on paper and one that just has to be spoken aloud?
You definitely know. Sometimes when you've put them together, you can be like, wow, this is something. Usually, if the topic is very current and relative, it's something you really push to speak out a little bit more, just to hear other people's points of views and the relevant topics.
And as you look ahead, and we have books like Ray Kurzweil's famous, you know, The Singularity Is Near, 2046 apparently, we're going to be more than 51% plugged in, either by implants or actually just by the way that it invades our lives. We've got 5G coming along. I mean, where does optimism and pessimism arise, and how do you deal with that?
I think it's very easy to get pessimistic. I think that's the easiest way to get as pessimistic about this. And the main reason is that it's going to, just because of human nature and what's been going on throughout time. So there's just the two things very quickly. Obviously, it looks like an equal distribution of technology, and that's only going to grow bigger. It's only going to be people of like certain pay brackets who are going to be able to afford the augmentation to be able to get Neuralink and stuff like that. So it seems as if a divide is only going to grow. On the other hand, one has to think the more smarter people there are, surely there would be a way to be able to uplift everybody else. So it's 50-50, but it depends on humans.
But if you could inject or implant in me the memories of having seen your show without actually needing to go to it, and I'd have all the visceral memories as if I'd been, are you still left with come and see my show, or would you go with that?
No, I'd still say come and see my
but
show.
Are you just being traditional?
No, that's a very good point. That's a very good point. But I think a large part of it would be about the enjoyment of the performance kind of thing. The same.
So what if I can have that enjoyment implanted in me as a memory?
Well, what you can do is you can get it on DVD or CD already. So we've already got a form of that kind of. Yeah. It'll just be audio or visual opposed to already in the head. And so people can do that. And I think that these things are moving forward into the future. But I think people also like the experience of going to an evening.
Yeah. Is there a danger that it becomes a bit polemical? You know, how do you make this a dialogue with your audience?
It is a tricky one, man. I try to keep it as simple as possible. And what I do is to make it straightforward is I give relatable topics. So I speak about, for example, what would have happened, what happened to my character's family. So they hear about the breakup of the family unit and community and all that kind of stuff. So even though it gets kind of complicated in times, it's all about very relevant stuff.
Do you notice a difference between your South African audiences and, say, a British audience, a Brighton audience, hearing that, for me, beautiful accent?
You know what? When I go back to South Africa, they say I sound English. So I get it either way. Yeah. So I get it either way. And it's all good. It's all love. The majority of the people is all love, and it's all good.
And what's the poetry scene like, the spoken word scene out in South Africa? Because most people here probably wouldn't know.
Oh, you know what? It is. I live in Joburg, so I live in London full time. I've been there for 8 years, and then I go back to Joburg about once a year. In all honesty, I've only found about one or two places to perform. And it isn't all that good. I think it's just because in general, there's not that many open mics. I think here there's a little bit more disposable income floating around for people to do these kinds of things compared to what there is in South Africa, basically.
I'm not making a political point, but there was a huge spoken word scene before we all arrived, wasn't there?
Hey, man, and hopefully it can be uplifted and all reborn and hopefully coming up again. It seems as though it's on the up, and I think it's an absolutely wonderful tool for young people to get involved and interested in literature and stuff like that.
Yeah. A final couple of questions. One would be, so what are you doing to get in the zone for your show tonight?
So to get in the zone tonight, first I sit and I make sure I read over my lyrics once, and then I usually maybe have one beer just to take the edge off after I've handing out flies. And then I'll just sit and try to concentrate, be with my thoughts. And then I get quite excited and, speak to people, be in the zone, hand out more flyers.
And finally, going back to Ray Kurzweil stuff, do you think robots will ever be able to enjoy and deliver spoken word?
I think so, unfortunately. Scarily, yes. Yeah, I think they will. I think they are going to somehow get it, because it ain't that hard. It's just about literally expressing what's going on around you. And as soon as they can harness some kind of emotion or even mimic some kind of emotion, they'll be able to create stuff like that, which is scary. But what can we do? We can't limit it either. We don't want to limit what they'll be able to do, because I think that would be wrong. It's best to let them.
Especially if they're buying tickets.
Especially if they've got money, I'm happy.
Rowan, thanks for talking to Fringe Review.
Thank you so much, man. I really